Malachim Beis, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Tazayin. So, Elisha has sent Gehazi to go fetch the woman of Shunem back. Notice that every time Elisha interacts with the woman of Shunem, he has an intermediary. He has his functionary. He has his shamas. He has Gehazi in the way. I don't know if anybody listening has ever been to see some of the great Gedolei Eretz Yisrael, and you go to B'nai Brak, the shamas plays a very large, looming role in who gets in to see the great tzaddik and who doesn't. And then we're going to see that Rabbi Alex Israel's take on this is actually really unique and very interesting to me, that by creating the beginnings of a bureaucracy to stand between himself and the people, Elisha is making a mistake. And he is, in a manner of speaking, cruising for a bruising. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to teach him some lessons. This story of the Isha of Shunem, Rabbi Israel suggests that the Isha of Shunem is the hero, and that Elisha is the one who needs the object lesson from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we'll see that as we go on. So now by Yomer, so now Elisha says to the woman, or at least in the woman's hearing because she's standing in the doorway, again, remember that he's being very careful. We have, lahavdil, far too many leaders in our time who have gone wrong by being far too familiar with female constituents who come to talk to them. Elisha's humility and his sense of tznius is really spectacular. But nevertheless, now he speaks directly to her. And he says, "Lamoed hazeh ko'es chaya." Very, very famous phrase. At this season, in this time of life, exactly the same phrase that was used for the promise of the birth of Yitzchak to Avraham and Sarah. Lamoed hazeh ko'es chaya at choveches bein. You will be holding a son in your arms. And that's a beautiful thing. So, just as today you are alive and well, Rashi says, so too you will still be alive and well at this time next year, but you will also be holding a son. But her response is fascinating. And she says back to him, Vatomer al Adoni, Isho Elokim. No, my master, don't, my Lord, man of God. Al tichazev b'shiv chasecha. Don't tichazev, don't deceive your maidservant. In another way of looking at it, don't conceal, don't lie, is one translation of the word. Not one generally used here, to your maidservant. And the Ralbag says that she is saying this almost as a bakasha. Please don't do this. If anything, and the Ralbag really hammers home the fact that the Isha of Shunem is tuned in very carefully to the vibes at play here. If anything is going to happen to this boy and he's not going to survive, please don't give him to me in the first place. Don't make me go through everything that a mother goes through, waiting for the child to be born, nurturing the child, and then raising the child, if it's going to come to naught. So she has a sense already that something is going to go wrong. That's one take on this strange response. But another take, as we've mentioned before, is that there is another attitude from this Rabbi Sabato, who wrote about the story of the woman of Shunem, who suggests that she's showing a lack of faith in some ways. She doesn't believe it. She doesn't believe that it's going to happen. And maybe she doesn't appreciate how much this means. I mean, it's a little mansplainy, that kind of attitude. But all things could be true, at least just a little bit, just a touch of it. The idea that the Isha of Shunem has put all of this side of her life aside and says, I'm satisfied with the way things are. Please don't do this and put everything into an uproar and upheaval. Nevertheless, Elisha has spoken. And notice also, Elisha has spoken. He doesn't say, Ko Amar Hashem or anything. And so this is the crux of Rabbi Israel's criticism, if you want to call it that, which is that Elisha is almost taking upon himself, I'm the miracle man. I can do whatever miracles need doing. I see a situation. This woman doesn't have a child. I'm going to remedy it. I have power, power over the idea of certain things, including childbirth, life. That's not something that another automatically has power over, and he should be a little careful. At least one opinion is that he overstepped his boundaries of his authority by saying this. In a manner of speaking, he's acting like he can grant life. And this is in contrast to other episodes in Tanakh, where in the case of Sarah conceiving, as Hashem had spoken. But in the case of the Isha of Shunem, take a look at the next pasuk, Yudzayin, Vatahar Isha Vatela Bein, and the woman conceived completely unexpectedly, and had a son, Lamoed Hazek Kois Chaya, at this season, at this time, the following year, in this time of life, meaning in her time of life, when she and her husband were elderly, Asher Diber Eleha Elisha. Unlike the story by Sarah and Avraham, it doesn't say like God spoke. It says like Elisha had spoken. So it seems to be that Elisha is usurping a little bit what his proper role is supposed to be. But nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing the child to be born, but then is going to condemn the child. The innocent child who had done nothing wrong, he's not going to have staying power. Odd. Nobody makes this connection, but think about the boys that Elisha spoke of who were attacked by bears. They didn't have staying power either. Elisha's miracles have two edges to them sometimes. You don't see this sort of thing with Eliyahu. It's direct and straightforward, and it's one direction only. By Elisha, it's always complicated a little bit. He is a Navi of the people, but the less he involves himself directly with the people, sometimes unexpected things happen.